Open for change so that he can work us more and more into his likeness. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We are again in this room and you have drawn us by your Spirit. We thank you for our unity, oneness and fellowship that, Father, doesn't come by emotion or feeling, doesn't come by our background, our education, our color. It comes by the Spirit of God. It comes by those who love Jesus and who are looking to him. That is why we're here today, Father, in fellowship in him. And Lord, again, we ask your mighty blessing over this time and over us and all the saints that are coming into the room. We thank you for this. Lord, this gives us a standing in your presence. And Father, we want to thank and praise you for this today. Lord, I pray that we will all partake of the manna, your word of the Spirit, Father, now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, welcome everyone this evening, and again it's a blessing to be with you, and just one or two things before we get into the word. I spoke to our brother Danny today in India, and the strikes out there still go on, but things are turning quite sour now, as government and police and army are moving in. And they have been warned that if these strikes carry on within the next week, anyone who will be outside or in the streets or towns could be shot at. We really do need to be in prayer for them. It's incapacitating them. They can't pay their bills. They can't really go shopping. It's a real mess, and so if you could lift this up in your prayer time, it would be very much valued. And of course it's hindering the church, and if these strikes continue, then it will be difficult for a lot of the members who would either come by transport or walk to go to the church meetings, because their lives will be in danger. So it's just the powers of darkness trying to keep the body together. But we know that our warfare is not carnal, it is spiritual, and our warfare can and will pull down those spirits that try to stop these things. Hallelujah. So that would be much appreciated. And he very much would like to have been with us here tonight and to share the word. But God knows. Hallelujah. Well, this evening for our title, we're going to talk about living as believers before the world and our community. Living as believers before the world and our community. And I think we're all at times of the opinion that our witness sometimes isn't as good as it could be. Sometimes we feel that we are just useless, that there's no light radiating from me, and how can anybody ever see really the love of Christ? Well, God works in ways past finding out, and very often God won't let us see too much of what he does in and through us. But we're just to believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And that God is well able to work through us, and even to work through our flesh, through the cross that we take daily and follow him. He's well able to work. And we'll look at some of the ways he's working and what God requires of us. And it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit for us indeed to live as believers in this world and before our communities and before our families, and to be that example. And sometimes we have all missed it. Well, you know, the Lord can even use, even when we miss it, where we can just come clean and say, I'm sorry, but that wasn't the standard of a believer that you saw there. Maybe sometimes why it isn't a witness is because we try to excuse our weaknesses or our sin, because our pride will not let us say sorry. So God knows how to get us to be witnesses in this last day. Hallelujah. Let's turn now, if we will, to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 11 to 12. And they're the two verses that I primarily want to look at, but I just want to lead into this in the context of what Peter is saying here to the churches, because he's speaking about us as a body, that we're like those stones set into the body of Christ. We're precious stones, and how God molds and he works with us. And then he takes it up in verse 11, which says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honourable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the nation. And it carries on just a bit with this, because he takes this emphasis a little bit more about us living before the world, because he then says in verse 13, Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king or to supreme or to governors and those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For it is the will of God that by doing good you may be put to silence the ignorance and the foolish. And then he says about not using our liberty as a cloak, but that we become those servants to minister. So we see in the context about how we are to live before the world. And he uses that example about us not demanding our rights, not the Christian going on demonstrations and marches, which so often we see in the guise of Christianity. No, on the contrary, to pray about these things. So that is all part of our conduct and how we live before the world and our community. Even if our family lie and fabricate about us, to justify. So often we're trying to justify. And only God can justify us. Only can speak. Only God can make us. God always has a purpose where he will reveal those who've lied and gossiped or done wrong to us. God has a way of heaping coals upon their head. He has a way of convicting. Very often our trying to justify actually gets in the way. Our justifying so often is actually not a very good witness before the world, our family or community. So, the question is, how do we live as examples before the world? And this is always the greatest challenge for believers, for the overcomers. And like, in a sense, being presented, possibly, say, as a famous film star or famous musician or whatever, you know, we hear sometimes that there's this greatest talent or a great tennis player is suddenly brought out and presented to the world, and all the world is wondering and looking after it, looking after to see what this talent is like. So it's a bit like us. God presents us to the world. In fact, he does that every day, if you did but know it. When you get up and you go out into this world, whether it be to work or before your family, or you go shopping, or you go out wherever it is, he's presenting us to this world. And we're not always conscious of this, but that is a fact. And he has a reason. So, next time when we go out, just think, God's presenting me in this world today. And God has got to help me to be a witness and to overcome. And to glorify his name, and to give a good testimony. And this begins to throw us on God. This begins to get our attention. This begins to get us to seek God, how we live daily before the world and our community and families. And for those who take this seriously and want this, God indeed will work through us so that we are those lights. It's a world of darkness. So we see, going back to 1 Peter 2 in verse 11, where he says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." And this speaks of the works of the flesh. That's primarily what this is speaking about, and we can see this very briefly, quickly, in James chapter 4 and verse 1, in James chapter 4 and verse 1, where he says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasures that war in your members? You lust, and you do not have. You murder, you covet, you cannot obtain, you fight, you war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." James shows us where we can be asking for the wrong things. We can be asking out of a wrong motive. We're asking God for worldly pursuits and pleasures and trying to make it spiritual. Oh, well, God will give me what I want. After all, if it's faith, God says, then you will receive in Jesus' name. But of course, we have to meet the conditions. We have to learn the word of God. we have to find what God's will is, what glorifies God in our asking, and that is the key to this. And so, like spoilt children, when we can't get what we want, we fall out with God, or we're angry with Him, or we fall out with each other. And many times, wars, fights, come out of a wrong desire for pleasures, wrong motives. And it says that they war in the members. What it means is that it's warring in the mind. It's what the mind, the heart, is lusting for. And we get angry with God when He won't let us have them. We throw a spiritual tantrum, like young children that want things, and when the parent says no, because they know sometimes it's not the right thing for them. And we do the same. And so when we're throwing those tantrums, very often we find that we do things that we don't normally do. For example, we can become very critical, or we can become nasty in conversation. Or when we find we can't get something, we find we want to take it out on other people, or maybe take it out on our brothers and sisters in the church. All of this of which causes and breaks up true unity and fellowship. And of course the enemy can use this. Some people or Christians go off and you don't see them for a while. And so it's affecting the fellowship and the unity of the body, because they've fallen out with God, or there was something they wanted and it hasn't manifested as they thought. All of this of which we have to have our minds, hearts renewed by the Spirit. We have to get into the Word so that we harmonize our confession, our wants, our needs with the Word of God. One of which, of course, we know very well, if you seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. All the things that we need to live by, our food, clothing, paying our bills, God knows them. And He actually tells us not to really get anxious about any of those things. And yet, we read there in James, where he says that you lust and do not have, you murder and you covet, you cannot obtain, you fight, you war, and you do not have because you do not ask. Why? Because you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So, it's all about the motive. And that's why our minds have to be renewed and worked upon. So that we find when we're asking in prayer, God has already worked within our hearts. So that that faith is there to know that when we ask, we receive in Jesus' name. Many times we don't receive, and it's not really in our hearts, because we ask amiss. So we really need to learn this one. And so, James speaks about the flesh, and he speaks of man's human nature. And man's human nature, the flesh, will never glorify God. And this can also even be a desire for knowledge and power and wealth. Some Christians are asking God for knowledge and power and wealth, all of which for their own lust, to build their own homes or their own empires or their own ministries. Again, totally the reason. That's why a lot of these big mega ministries that become big and powerful, often, sadly, it's out of a wrong motive, a wrong desire. And that's why a lot of them are not godly or spiritual. And you don't really see real spiritual growth amongst their followers. And that's the tragedy of it. We notice that when Adam was created, and also Eve presented to them, We note that in their creation before God, they were innocent. And they were innocent to these desires before they fell. Because everything that they would ask or knew they would get came out of a pure motive, out of a living relationship with Almighty God. And so that's why he tried to get in there to destroy that simple, childlike relationship that knew that God would provide. Now we have to learn the Word of God, and we have to learn the principles, and we have to wait in faith very often for the manifestation of these things, which should never have been, sadly. No, we've got to be living examples. We've got to be, God's having us as believers set in this world, and this world is going to see that God answers our prayers. This world is going to see that we are not left out, that God provides, and that he feeds us, and he keeps us, and he looks after us. Speaks to the world, and as the world is experiencing more and more hardship, as we're beginning to see unemployment getting worse, the financial world getting worse, and it is, and it will, God is going to use all of this to show that he still looks after us, and he provides for us, and he keeps us. And that's going to be a real testimony, brothers and sisters, to the world. Now we look at verse 12, back in Peter, chapter 2. And it says here, having your conduct honourable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works glorify God in the day of visitation. Or it means having conversation. Or your conduct. It means have your conversation honourable among the Gentiles. So again, it's very much what you say, as well as what you do. Now, there are certain comforts in this life that we willingly surrender as overcomers, as pilgrims. Let's just turn quickly to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, which says here, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world of darkness, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So we get a clue here of what the apostle says there. It says, he says about, above all brethren, he says about having our conduct or conversation honourable amongst the Gentiles. The way we can do that is that we hold to the Word of God. And it always comes back at the end of the day to holding to God's Word. If we keep with God's Word, if we confess this Word and we keep listening to this Word, and not compromising with this Word, the Word which is the sword of the Spirit is going to cause us to be lights, to be an example in this world, and to our communities, to our families. Because that's the nature of the Word of God. Because if we stay with this, God is going to work his Word into our lives. That's what's so wonderful about all of this. So it's not something that you're trying to do. It's more being faithful to this Word, keeping with this Word, and all these godly affections, and everything that God requires, which is perfection, God will work it in and through us on the basis of truth as we receive the Word of God. And that's what's so wonderful about this. This is what takes the feeling of condemnation out of it, feeling of hopelessness, feeling, well, I'll never attain, I'm never going to be an example, I'm the last person, and so on. Well, if you love God's word, and you want to hear his word, and you want to walk in obedience to his word, you don't compromise with that word, God's going to work that, believe me. He has a way of working it, and don't try and work it out. You see, very often God won't always let us see too much about the light that is in us that shines out and touches others. Well, he's got a reason for that sometimes, because we might get a bit sort of puffed up and a bit proud. But very often, sometimes, we're more of an example than we actually realise. So we praise and thank God for that. But there are certain comforts in this world that we are willing to surrender and to give up as these pilgrims and sojourners. Because, quite frankly, what the world offers, and much of it, we don't actually need it. A lot of this world and what it has to offer, much of it, as believers, we don't really, it gets in the way. This is why we have to watch the world and its ways, because the cares of the world can snare, hinder the word of God being sown into our hearts. That's why we get delivered from the spirit of this age, the world and its ways. This is why the Holy Spirit, he sanctifies us, he separates us and sets us apart unto himself, unto holiness. Which proves that there's so much in the world we don't really need. And therefore, our separation speaks to the world. Because they will see that there are things in the world that we're not really dependent upon, which the world is. For example, we shouldn't be dependent on money, which the world is. The world lusts after money. Power in the world is always backed up by money. Wherever you see money, you see power, you see corruption. The Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, God has delivered us from that. We are not dependent upon the love and lust of money. And yet some believers still need deliverance from that. And all the while we're still lusting after it and working for it, manipulating, scheming and planning for money, you will never get breakthroughs and your needs will never be met. It comes back to motive, you see. So that's a big area that we surrender, that we give up, and we trust God that he will provide, he will feed us, he will look after us, which he does. Now that is a witness. That is a testimony. And your families will in time see that. They will see that God is providing for you. You're not manipulating. You're not working at it. You're not lying and scheming like the world is, just to survive and live, which of course is money to them. Thank God we're delivered from that corruption. And many, many other things as well. God's delivering us from the arm of the flesh, relying upon those things of the arm of the flesh. And as we're getting delivered from that, so the world and our families are going to see again that they live by those things, but we don't. What a testimony this starts to create, and how this glorifies God. All the while the world, the church is living in the world and living like the world, what testimony is it? It's not. And many, many, many of your denomination agree in doctrine and the word of God, and the world laughs at it. The only people that don't see that are those that are trapped and caught in it, who bicker and argue and there's strife and over the word. I know because I've come out of denominationalism. And the strife and the bickering in there was unbelievable. Thank God we're free from that. Because God says, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. So much of that in these denominations is unclean. And you will never grow, you will never be a witness, a light in this world. And he also says back in verse 11, he says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. These things that war against the soul is often your heart, you. Is God changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh? It's these hard areas in our heart that still war. And we'll war against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, because we know that the two cannot and will not mix. And this is where the cross comes in again, doesn't it? And just that yielding over and allowing the Holy Spirit to work so that he can continue to circumcise, to work upon our hearts, which he's doing. Because if he doesn't do that, where you've got areas you're not at peace, that's going to come out in some way or form. Where you are not at peace, you're not going to be able to give out peace, but you're going to give out the opposite. And a Christian should be at peace because he or she has the Prince of Peace residing, living within their heart, whose name is Jesus. But if that peace is not there, then you cannot project or let from your innermost being flow those rivers of living water. They're not at that point. That is why it's always necessary as believers that we pursue for peace. Always. And a lot of that means by simply keeping your mouth shut. God doesn't want to hear what we've got to say. He will say it. And we still think it's our prerogative, it's our right to say what we think. And we need to be on our guard in this, brothers and sisters, and to prayerfully seek before we do talk about these things, whether it be right or not. So you need to avoid those things that you and rob you of your peace with the Lord. You see, the world and religion will speak against you very often in a negative way. It'll speak against you as evildoers. So if we're looking for religious people to look at us as believers, lights in this world, you can forget it. Because it was those people that put Jesus to the cross. And they'll do the same for us. So we're not looking to religious people to try and impress them. What we need to do is actually pray for them, that God will have mercy and that he will open their eyes. No, what we're speaking about here is to the world, to the people out in the highways and the byways, families, people at work, people we know, people we work alongside with. This is what we're talking about here. This is what Peter's speaking about. Because the religious world will speak against us as evildoers. And they certainly did it with Jesus. Let's turn, for example, to Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 1 to 8. And listen what it says here. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic laying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once Some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Who glorified, who marveled? God, the people that were around. But the religious people, and in this case the scribes, who should have known better, who should have known the word of God, we note that they don't do that. What do? They judge him in a religious way that he blasphemes. What Jesus was showing here to the people, that he's come not only as a saviour, but a healer. He's come for the whole man, in mind, body, spirit. And that's what we hold to. And that is what he was doing. He was glorifying the Father's name. That he come, yes, he had got power to forgive sin. He'd also got power to heal as well. But Jesus always revealed where that power came, not within himself, but divinely given from my Father. Same for the church. Same for you and I, as witnesses. This is ultimately what God is working in us with the overcomers in these last days, as we are going to be living examples before the world and our community. We cannot limit what God can and will do through us. But you can be well assured that the religious people, they will not be impressed. They will speak evil against us. And so Jesus goes forth and he heals this paralytic in which to glorify the Lord. Well, what conclusion then do we really draw from all of this? Can God preserve a remnant who can walk in this world untouched by it? Well, with man it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And like all the word of God, you are going to take it by faith. But it's not only taking it by faith, it's actually taking it by faith and desiring and wanting this in your heart also. It isn't going to be just enough to hear a sermon like this and say, "Oh, well, praise God, you know, I'm going to take this by faith." Indeed, we do. But is it a faith that wants this, desires this? Is it a faith that has the right motive and purpose? And what is that? To glorify the Lord. This isn't about us. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about glorifying his name. It's about the world, that the church shining as a light in this world of darkness. This isn't about my ministry being promoted, or how blessed God has blessed my ministry. It's nothing to do with that. It's simply about the Lord Jesus Christ glorifying his name in and through us. And that must be the desire of our hearts, else it is never ever going to work. Now, if that is your desire and that is your want, then you have a legal right and claim to receive this by faith, that God will do this. Because I believe God can do this. I believe God is raising a remnant now. As the bride's making herself ready, there's a remnant who can and will be untouched by this world in these last days. And I said to you earlier how God is going to do this. He's going to do this by the word of God. by the Spirit of God, the sword of the Spirit, as we just yield to the Word, we receive the Word, and we stay with the Word of God, God's going to work that in us both to will and do for His good pleasure. You see, I believe God keeps us in the world, as He does, to show His mighty power for the day. That's why He's delaying His coming. That's why at the moment we still find ourselves in this world, because He's doing this, preserving and keeping us, reveal His mighty power for His soon return. And will the world see that? The world will see that God had a remnant that He was able to redeem out of this corrupt, defiled. It's impossible. That is why God prosper it. And as we yield to this, and as we hold on and stay with the Word of God, we're going to find the power of His Spirit is preserving and keeping us. This is why I always keep saying that when you have sinned or you have fallen short, keep close accounts. Get right quick with God if you have fallen short. Come before Him immediately and confess it and get it under the blood of Jesus. This is our preservation. This is what preserves us. You see, Jesus never said that He will keep us totally sinless in this world. You see, we don't preach sinless perfection. That will only be, brothers and sisters, when we're finally glorified and we're living eternally with the Lord. Until then, that temptation is there. We can sin. I'm not saying we must sin, that's not what we're saying, but the possibility of sinning is there, and we all have done it. And God knows that, and God has provided for that through Christ, through the atonement. He's provided for our shortcomings. But on our side of it, we have to make sure that we don't let sin start to take hold. Until then, eventually, unbelief, falling away, and finally death. No, we keep close accounts. We keep very close to the Lord. Our desire and heart is, Lord, keep me. Keep me from the evil one. Keep me from temptations. Keep me above all from myself. That must be the desire of our hearts, and what comes out of our hearts, and our prayers, and our intercessions. We even have that in the Lord's Prayer. Keep me from the evil one, and from temptation. Why is that there? Wish to God more believers were on the ball with regard to that. And then we wouldn't see some of the terrible falling aways sometimes that there is. God knows He's preserving us in a sinful world that's getting worse and worse and worse. It's not getting any better. And yet God says He will bring a remnant, a bride, who will make herself ready out of all of this. Well, that has to be God, brothers and sisters. And so as we stay with the Word of God that works in our lives, changing us, conforming us, He will do it. Sometimes it takes a while to change, because we don't always want to change in our hearts. And so God has to work there until we actually come to that place we're willing to change, or we're willing to give up that sin, or we're willing to turn away from some of those things that still sadly can grip us at times. But the Lord will do it. And as I say so many times, and I'll say it again, your salvation is no mistake. God has made no mistake over any of us to those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, because He first loved us. He chose us first before we did Him. So if we hold on to that and believe that and thank Him for that, you know He's going to bring us through. Hallelujah. So there we are, brothers and sisters. That's what we've been looking at today, living as believers before the world and our community and our family. Let the light of God shine through you. That life which is in you, which is the life of Christ, just let him live his life through you each day, as you begin each day to yield over to the Spirit. Yield over to the life of Christ in you. He knows how to live his life. As he has overcome all things, so the life that is now in you is an overcomer, because he has overcome all things, and he says you can overcome all things. And this is why he's renewing and he's changing our minds, because we know that sin starts first in the mind, the thinking, and then the sense realm, the eyes, smell, taste and everything, that then takes over afterwards. But our minds are being renewed, changed by the word of God, by the sword of the Spirit. And he's casting down, he's bringing down those wrong thoughts, those wrong emotions, those resentments, that unforgiveness, that anger, that lust, that pride, all those things that can cause us to sin. He's casting it, he's bringing it down as we allow the Spirit of God to do that and work upon our minds and to change our minds. He's doing it, brothers and sisters, and he will. And that's why you see the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important for this. It's so important because the power of the baptism of the Spirit is the power of God working within us to accomplish these godly affections. Otherwise, it is difficult. Otherwise, it is going to be virtually impossible. Man cannot live this in himself. Religious people are trying to do this. Nuns and monks are trying to place themselves in cloisters and cut themselves away from the world so that their eyes don't sin or whatever it is, but their hearts can still lust in those places. We find it strange, don't we, today that in the Muslim faith women robe up or dress up in their burqas and whatever it is so that they don't cause men to sin and lust after them. Well, it's got nothing to do with that. The lust is in the heart. It's the heart that has to change. You can cover a woman up or a man up, but you can still lust. They've got it all wrong, because only Jesus can change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Only he can put these godly affections and attitudes within us. Hallelujah. That's the good news of the Bible. And that is why it's good news to those who are desperate, who want to walk in his ways. God will do it, because he'll move heaven and earth for any saint who wants this. And that's why we have the word of God, and that's why I believe tonight, brothers and sisters, we're going to be changed and different people tonight as we have heard this word, as the Lord has promised. Hallelujah. Father, again tonight we want to thank you. We want to thank you that you first loved us. We want to thank you, Father, that you never make a mistake when you address us and when you speak to us on whatever subject we are to know about. And tonight, Lord, you have spoken about us being living examples, believers, Christians, living in this world and before our families and our communities. Help us, Father. Help us to be a light in this world of darkness. Help us to keep with the word that is changing us, conforming us into your ways, your likeness. Help us, Father, to keep close accounts if we fall short. Help us, Lord, to keep close, walking daily with you, not as some religious person, but as disciples of Christ. Father, make us sensitive to the needs that will be around us. Father, don't let us be like the Good Samaritan, where there were many who just saw but didn't go and help and aid. Let that not be of any of us. Let us always be ready to help in the most practical ways sometimes, and you are practical, where we don't have to advertise what we've done, but simply our love for those around us will speak those words of life. Lord, it's not so much in what we say, it's what we do. Help us, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you also for all of those who have come online tonight. Be with them, bless them, preserve them, keep them in Christ. I confess the blood of Jesus over each one of them. And Lord, we thank you for our fellowship, our coming together. We're all here, Lord, because of one thing. We love Jesus and we love his word. And so, Lord, I pray we'll have a blessed week until we assemble again in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
She's so